Greetings, Apropussy, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and special guest.
Cole.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Good.
Good. Now, playing the role of Jenna today is Cole.
Oh, God.
I have to keep you on track.
we're actually just ADRing you in so you'll have to match the lip flaps.
Yeah. Also, you need to get angry at James every time he puns.
Yeah.
And tell him to leave.
Yes. Yeah. So the usual.
How will I know when he's punned?
Because his mouth is moving.
Yeah.
Leave.
Pretty much that, yeah. Oh.
Sure.
There we go. The only thing we need now is a drink. Thankfully, I have one in my hands. I'm drinking. I raided my fridge and I found a Shell's Sangria in there, and so I'm drinking that. And it's good.
Yeah, there is a secret awfulness in your fridge, but that's waiting for another time.
Yeah, waiting for you to finally come back to my freaking lab.
Yep. Ha.
It's okay. I'll just keep drinking stuff in the meantime.
Well, that's very fair. I have from Venn Brewing Co. their Apricot Wheat limited release. Very excited about that.
I think it's pronounced Apricot. The T is silent.
Only if it's from the Apricot of Nothing area of France. Otherwise, it's just sparkling bullshit.
Oh, if I ever brew like an apricot mead, I'm calling it Apricot of Nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you are.
I'm doing that now.
Mm.
All right. So I've got some.
God, that's good.
Orange. Mm-hmm. Gatorade Thirst Quencher.
Yes.
Because I'm healthy like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know it's classy when the flavor is the color.
Yes, and it is gently and delicately cascaded over a few fingers of monkey shoulder blended whiskey.
A few fingers? Jesus Christ.
I mean, this sounds like the right ratio to me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's tough.
It both hydrates and intoxicates.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't taste as bad as I was hoping it wouldn't.
It's what plants crave, which is good because it will put you in a vegetative state.
Ah, there it is. Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm starting to go blind in one eye.
Well, if you're a potato, you have plenty to spare.
Gerleave?
There you go. Yep. Okay, no, that was the correct. Yes. Anyway, what you been up to, James?
For my part, I've gotten started on Minecraft. I never thought that would happen, but someone convinced me to try building a bunch of stuff in Minecraft, and now I'm kind of fucking into it. Yeah, that, and I've doubled down on therapy because it's. The long months right now. I don't really think that it's a sunlight thing. I think it's like an after holidays crash. I don't know how else to describe it, but I still got my tiny tree up. Yeah. Cheering me on. So good. Yeah, I just, as a preventative measure, because I know that these months are usually hard for me, I decided that I needed more therapy than I was doing. And so I'm doing that. I'm starting to get into the heavy lifting now, which is good. At the very least, we've accelerated the program so that I am now doing the heavy lifting faster than I was before. We've gotten down to it. So I'm not spending, 2 years waiting to get to the good stuff and really get the, the hard work done.
Has it reached montage stage yet?
I think it's just before the montage,
okay,
where, you know, like my movie persona is like ducking and weaving through the obstacle course and then getting, you know, hit by the sandbag and knocked off.
I was thinking you were just about to hit the Eisensteinian phase.
You're making a reference and it's...
I am, and I'm shocked that I've actually... Did that just happen, Salsa? Are you leaning forward
James,
for the same reason I am?
James, this feeling that you are feeling right now,
mm-hmm,
this is what you do to everyone always.
Yeah, but usually it's fun for me. That's...
That's my fucking point.
Yeah, yeah. So are you telling me that you're finally enjoying this? Is that...
I'm enjoying seeing you squirm. Seeing you squirm, absolutely.
Okay.
If this was a video podcast, everybody would have seen Salsa lean slowly forward to the camera,
yeah,
as if to say, "What just happened?"
I am observing a miracle.
Yeah. Yes. And for a moment,
good.
I observed Salsa's crotch.
So Eisenstein did a bunch of film experiments in the early 1900s ish that defined montage, showing that dissimilar shots put one after the other can take on meaning that they do not inherently have.
Oh,
based on the audience reaction rather than the actual content of the clips.
Oh,
interesting. Wow.
I did a paper on him.
No, that's fast. Sounds fast. Can you give an example?
Yes, the specific exercise that he did was he took a famous actor of the time and he put him in front of the camera and had him have a flat affect to his face, silent film time. So, you know, he wasn't like flat Kansas. He was just non-emotional face.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed to an audience a picture of the man, a picture of a bowl of soup, picture of the man, picture of a baby crying, picture of a man, picture of a beautiful woman, and then asked them later what the character was going through, and they had different emotional responses for each of those shots, even though it was the same shot every time.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
No, absolutely.
I looked at it hungrily,
yeah,
and it defined all modern filmmaking.
Sounds like the audience was projecting a lot of their own...
And
him.
That
yeah.
is why Twilight was so successful.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The Mary Sue is designed for that. That's what they're for.
And they're my favorite kind of shoes.
Aw. It's like a Mary Jane, but it's got a taller heel.
Anyway.
Okay, good. All right.
What else?
Back on the horse. All right. So aside from that, just getting into good habits, getting back into physical therapy, getting into better tidying habits and things like that to help keep my place looking nicer-ish. Yeah. So that if I have a guest that I can make things look like the animal that lives here is human rather than dead. Yeah. Or a dead human. Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I've also been playing a video game. I've started playing Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Oh shit!
Yeah, a throwback. I know.
Nice.
I missed it the first time around. You know, I've played a lot of the other ones. Morrowind and Skyrim and all the other ones. But
yeah.
But Oblivion, I missed it on the first time around. It just never got around to it, and so it was like $5 on Steam. A month ago, and I was like, I should should pick that one up. So I did, and I've been playing it just to kind of scratch that Elder Scrolls itch without playing Skyrim again, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's definitely very dated. The graphics are,
ooh, yeah,
but it's still Elder Scrolls, you know, like, yeah. even though the graphics are less pretty, it's still, it is what it is, you know, and you're getting an Elder Scrolls game, and I'm enjoying it. Just even though it is older and the graphics are rough, it's still a good story and it's still a fun gameplay. So yeah, that's what I've been up to as far as that goes. On that front. But beyond that, my daughter had a hockey game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And scored some goals. Doing excellent. Well. I'm so proud of her. She's growing up immensely and just becoming an amazing little kid. But yeah, don't know what else to say about that. Honestly, I feel like there was something I was going to mention on the podcast today, and I can't remember at all what it is.
revel in those child moments.
Oh, absolutely.
They go away far too quickly.
Indeed. No, I absolutely am reveling in them. My wife was away for the weekend, though, so I was alone with the kids. And so there was a little less reveling in those moments and more just both of you are not allowed to play in the same room. For God's sake, stop yelling at each other.
Did they both survive the time?
Oh, no, they definitely survived, but it was just, yeah. You know.
And you're good. You're good.
They're at that age where they love each other. They absolutely adore each other. But after 3 or 4 hours of playing together, that they start to get snippy at each other, and then it's just like, okay, you two, you have to do something away from each other for a while. Otherwise this is just going to escalate. I remember what it was. I made scones.
Ah,
fucking and awesome.
Not like American style, like big triangle, sugary thing. I mean proper British scones. I also made
clotted. And they're all flour.
They're round, but they're small and round and delicious. And you put jam and clotted cream on them. And oh yeah, I made clotted cream because I can do that too. So yeah,
on
we had
purpose?
Scones. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An important distinction.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. No, I made scones with homemade clotted cream and jam, and they were so good. So good. The clotted cream was a little runnier this time around. I've made it better in the past. I don't know what happened this time. I think the cream I was using, because you don't want to use pasteurized for making clotted cream. And most creams that you can get in the States are either ultra pasteurized or pasteurized. So it's hard to find something that isn't pasteurized. And if you can't get something that's, and you just can't. So you have to find something that is just pasteurized, not ultra pasteurized.
Or a cow.
But I think we used a different kind of cream this time, and it might have been more pasteurized than the cream that I've used in the past. And so it just didn't congeal the right way. But yeah, no, I had it. And then I had it on toast this morning, the clotted cream on toast. Oh man, that's good. That's really fucking good. I'm so annoyed that this country, you can't get clotted cream anywhere, but I know how to make it.
We've got a lot of weird restrictions that also meant that I can no longer get my favorite alcoholic beverage from the UK.
That's too bad.
I think it is also a pasteurization issue.
Possibly. What is it?
It's a K hard cider. It's a black bottle with a big red K on it. And I fell in love with it because I could get 6 bottles for $7.50 when I was in college. And that's nice. The right price, especially when it was like four times the alcohol that you would get in a regular beer.
Yeah.
The cheap piss water that we were buying in the 30 cases.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was a good investment.
So anyway, no, speaking of which, do you remember the Mastika that I came back from Greece from? I found a website that I can get it shipped to me.
Fuck yes.
But it's like with shipping, it's like $60 a bottle for a 700-liter bottle. And it's just like, ugh.
Maybe worth it.
Yeah, I mean, for like really? My birthday, maybe. That might be something for like my birthday.
I'll do that once or twice a year for a good scotch. $80, whatever. $70, $80.
Yeah, and this is worth that to me.
Yeah.
For like a birthday, you know, something like that. But just to have around the house, that's a bit much.
Or as we call it, a justification day.
Exactly, yes. A justification day. It is worth it on a justification day. But I did find it was...
Did we just create a new holiday?
God, I created a new holiday.
Yeah. It's justification day. Yeah, what's justification day, you say?
Yeah.
Any day that ends in a Y.
Look, I really want to spend a lot of money, and I can't, so I need to justify it. Happy justification day.
They're floating holidays, and you get four of them.
It is a floating holiday.
I'm about that. Ah, that's a really good plan. Okay, so...
What is justification? Justification Day is the second Tuesday of any month that you want something.
Well, it's all of them.
But only once a quarter.
Yeah, I was going to say up to four times a year.
Within reason.
Yeah, sure. You don't want to abuse Justification
Day. Homer creating his own holidays, and he was like, it's the feast of and then looks up at sign at the bar, the feast of maximum occupancy. Brilliant. Yeah,
I would say any Tuesday, but once a quarter.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Done. Happy Justification Day, everyone.
Happy Justification Day.
Well, it's Justification Day Eve, really, today. But
oh yeah, I suppose.
But by the time this podcast comes out,
yeah. So
which means tonight you fill your stockings with jam and clotted cream, which salsa knows
and how to Kinder make. Eggs apparently too.
Well, I bought a Kinder Surprise, which is very weirdly similar to a Kinder Egg.
Yes, yeah. But it's not the same because the surprise is adjacent to the candy.
Correct. I was actually extraordinarily pleased with the surprise that I got. The quality
is not the same thing in Germany.
Nope. No, I know.
No, it is not.
Surprise.
Speaking of which, The Witcher is really good. So the
yes, it is. Have you seen season 2?
Yes, I just wrapped that up.
Okay.
Yeah, and we can't spoil that for anybody. But
spoil it for everybody else. Fuck. Sorry, can't spoil it for anyone else.
Yep. Yes, yeah.
I have seen that. I have not yet seen Boba Fett, but Witcher, I absolutely absorbed that as soon as I could.
These are all good things.
Indeed.
I've been really pleased with the quality of the television that we've been getting when we're obeying a more British sensibility of season length.
Isn't it nice?
It really is.
Like, it makes it so much more palatable. You don't get just exhausted by it. You're just like, get in, tell the story you want to tell, and get the fuck out. You don't have to have 17 filler episodes.
Right. You know, a beach episode, the school festival. Yeah. Are they still on Namek?
I mean, I definitely throw in a musical episode every now and then. Don't get me wrong.
Well, if you want a musical episode of The Witcher, just watch all of Gallivant. So,
oh, God.
Even if you don't, even if you don't watch all of Gallivant.
Yeah, do watch so, that. Yeah.
And then then get angry that they canceled Gallivant.
Right. They had to. Again. They had to.
I know.
So Tim Amundsen had a massive stroke.
I know. Shit. I know. But still.
But he is now doing a podcast
with
Maggie Lawson, his partner from the precinct, called The Psychologists Are In. It's about their time on psych together.
Really? Oh,
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And they're doing it kind of episode by episode and having guests on. I've been listening to that. It's wonderful. So, sorry.
Salsa, you'll be very pleased.
No, not at all.
A friend of mine told me, he was like, there's a show that I need you to see this show. It's really good. They have all of these different questions and things like that. And then they've got, try to distract people while they're solving these word puzzles and doing this math and everything. And I was like, is this a British show?
Countdown?
Yes, it is. it was fucking Countdown. Fair enough. I was, more than anything, I was deeply pleased that he's gotten into Countdown specifically, but British television in general.
And Jimmy
Carr has a massive career.
Oh, he definitely does. On
every show.
Oh, he absolutely, he does Big Fat Quiz. He does 8 out of 10 Cats.
8 out of 10
Cats does Countdown. Like he definitely, he's doing well for himself.
I literally just told you, which if you haven't seen.
I have not seen that one. No,
it is the most fun quiz show.
What's the name?
All of the, it's called, I literally just told you. Yes.
Right. But I think I missed it.
I literally just told you. So the premise is all of the questions are derived from what's happening on the show previously, like in that episode.
Oh,
they have question writers just off stage
writing
questions. So as he's introducing the contestants, they're talking about themselves. The question writers are putting questions up for later in the show.
Shit.
They do a fake ad break. And then they come back from the ad, the actual ad, after the fake ad, and they ask questions about the fake ad.
Fuck.
It is so good.
They're asking questions about the show immediately preceding it?
Yes. Like on the set.
It's a live show. It's not pre-recorded or anything like that.
It's a pre-recorded show, but within the confines of that one show, they're saying questions like, all right, in the background behind you, you may not turn around. There is one word that is displayed vertically instead of horizontally. What is that word?
So when you say the previous show. So
they had to notice it when they walked in.
So not the show. Like it's not like not Law and Order. Show. And then.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the show that they're in. Questions from things that happened previously on that episode that they're in.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. I thought you meant I thought you were like you're watching Law and Order SVU, and then they come out and ask you questions about Law and Order SVU, and I'm just like, how did they schedule this?
That's fucking
amazing. So it's wonderful. So things like I would ask James earlier also mentioned that he was going to name his mead. What was he going to name his mead? We literally just told you.
Come on, James.
Of nothing.
There it is.
There you go. Those kinds of questions.
That is weirdly hard.
Yeah.
No, that's genius. I love this. I am definitely going to have to watch this.
So good.
It's brilliant.
It's so good. They're like 5 or 6 episodes in.
I'm definitely.
It's a hoot.
On YouTube, ostensibly for free, there is a wonderful new quiz show called Actually. Just within the last year or so, this popped up everywhere. Have either of you seen this?
No, I have not.
It is entirely about extraordinarily nerdy corrections.
So it's QI.
Well, it's a little different from QI in that they will say in book four of this of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy trilogy, the they visit Arthur's home on Earth, and he meets a woman who's named after a London Airways concourse, and such and such, blah, 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 end of question. And at any point where somebody sees something that is incorrect, they buzz in and they say, actually, she was named after a London railway station.
I see. So it's just a statement, and if there's a falsehood, they have to buzz in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, they'll throw misleading shit in there, like the fourth book of the trilogy, and people will be like, it wasn't a trilogy, and then they get into, but it's so fucking great. But the thing that I find incredibly distracting and wonderful about this show in particular, aside from it just being hilarious, is that in the background of every shot, there are slightly wrong artifacts of nerd culture. Like there's a hand giving the Vulcan sign, but it's the wrong fingers are divided apart.
This is the ring fun that I've done, where you misquote Monty Python and watch people, the audience, freak out.
Have you seen The Unbelievable Truth?
No, I don't know about this.
This is exactly The Unbelievable Truth, but backwards.
Oh.
The Unbelievable Truth is the comedians need to spout utter nonsense, but slip five truisms into.
Ooh, shit.
And the other people need to buzz in and say that was the true statement.
Wow.
So it sounds like this is Unbelievable Truth, just the opposite direction.
When I first met Salsa, when we were first working together, Salsa had an American quiz show, which I thought was fucking amazing, called Fully Believable. Mm-hmm. And there were segments in which we just had to make up absolutely complete bullshit stories, but we had to include certain things that had been determined by the judging panel ahead of time. Words or ideas, phrases, things like that.
I really wish that show had caught on.
I loved that. I loved doing that so much. Especially, at one point there was a bullshit debate about who was better, Doctor Who or Captain Picard, I think.
Depends on the doctor.
I mean, you would think so.
But that's part of the argument.
Every starship captain. Right. So, yeah. See. But I it was at that point that like Superman, ripped my shirt open and was wearing a Doctor Who shirt. And Salsa was like, all right, you're on the side of Star Trek. Fuck.
Perfect.
All right. Okay.
Well, no, that was a fun show. I wish that show had caught a following.
Yeah.
Cause it was so much fun to produce.
Yeah. It might do better as a web show.
Mm. So Cole, just to fill you in on what it was. It was a show that I created and produced where, you had four contestants and each contestant was given a prompt. And they had to tell the story about the time that they blank. So each prompt would start with, tell me about the time that you were the captain of a nuclear submarine. And you had to improvise a 5-minute story as if this were completely true. The whole point was you had to be like, no, this is absolutely true. Yes, and this, let me tell you about this time. The thing was, is every minute a randomly generated word would appear on the screen that they had to somehow incorporate into their story.
Nice.
And so they'd be
fun.
It was utter, you know, so they'd be talking about the time that they were the captain of a nuclear submarine and they were on this mission and they were peering through the peep, you know, the scope.
Periscope. Yeah.
Periscope. Thank you. And suddenly boom, and they'd turn around and look, and on the screen would be the word like radiator. And they'd be like, and I looked through the periscope and I saw the radiator of the ship oncoming was boiling steam. They had overheated. And so they were slowing it. Just like they had to incorporate this word into their story somehow. Yeah. It didn't matter how, as long as they squeezed it in there.
Fantastic.
And it was a lot of fun. But then, yeah, the midpoint, we had a pointless debate, which was just, they had to, I picked two things and they had to argue, but the best part was at the halfway point, they had to switch sides. So that thing that they were vociferously for, they now had to be against just as vociferously. And it got heated a few times. My favorites would be where somebody would be laying out this case for why their side was brilliant. And they would just be reaching their crescendo and it would go boom and they would go, and all of that is wrong. So anyway, yeah, no, but anyway,
Cole, that's what the defense is going to say.
it was a lot of fun. I should try to figure out how to resuscitate that. Anyway, Cole, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, it's, you know, we're in the middle of a health thing.
Never heard of it.
So I've been sitting, watching a lot of shows. We had
British panel shows, apparently.
British panel shows, Librarians, Book of Boba Fett. What else recently? I started
Librarians is such Raised by Wolves show.
I really like it. It is Warehouse 13 resurrected.
It is. The movies were fantastic. The show was okay. It's not as good as the movies, but it's still fun.
It's a low budget B show with kind of A-list actors, which is kind of neat.
It was fun. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Yeah, I'm getting a kick out of it.
Can I recommend a show to you?
Yes.
No, you're not allowed.
It's called Murderville.
Yes,
it's got Will Arnett as the lead.
It's so good.
Everyone in the show knows exactly what's going on, and they're trying to solve a murder case that is absurd, with three suspects, and they have one unwitting comedian or
celebrity guest
who is Will Arnett's trainee detective that he's bringing along with him on these cases, and they have to pretend to know what's going on. And they have no, they are the only person who is not included on the script.
So is this an improv?
Yes.
For them, for that one person, it is.
Oh, wow.
Everybody else has a
fun concept.
Everybody else has a script. Everybody else knows who the killer actually is. They know exactly what everything happened. And they have one person who has no idea what's going on.
I don't want to do that.
Pretend that they do. I know, it sounds so much fun.
The first episode is Conan O'Brien, and
perfect.
There is a segment in this show where Will Arnett is trying badly to do a magic trick, and this is a joke with more layers than a fucking wedding cake, because Will Arnett was Job Bluth on Arrested Development, where he was the world's worst fucking magician. And so watching him do that, I'm losing my fucking mind. And my partner asked me, like, what's going on? And I had to have one of those moments where you like pause what you're watching. So I'm like, okay, this is.
Here's a backstory, and we're going to have to go to the backstory a little bit. But first, like, let me lay some groundwork. How important
is it for you to know? Like, is this something that you really, or is it just like infuriating that I'm laughing at something that makes no fucking? And they were like,
"No, we're going to have to cover some '90s television history."
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
Yeah. So I dug up it's like fucking 11 minutes long of nothing but Job Bluth magic performances to the song Final Countdown, and it's just awful. Yeah, just the fucking worst. Yeah. 10 out of 10. I would recommend Murderville. It's very funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
The one I was just watching, Resident Alien. I binged all of season one, and I'm all caught up on season two now.
Sure.
I've not seen that yet.
You know, I really am enjoying that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will watch that man do anything.
Ryan Tudyk is amazing.
Yeah.
Just in that role.
And absolutely everything, yeah.
God, it's so fun. And the premise is entertaining, and it's kind of the audience knows what's going on, but everybody in the town does not. And so you're watching them kind of fumble around. You're like, we have the whole thing laid out in front of us, and we're like, it creates a lot of tension, which is really neat. So I think it's probably along the same order, is that we as an audience get to watch other people uncomfortable.
There's a degree, and the Goes Wrong show, I think, rides that line real hard. Perfectly.
Have you watched more?
Yeah, I've now watched, I believe, all of it.
I feel like there's a couple episodes where they went too far, but for the most part, yeah, they did a real good job of writing that line.
But I think that's one of those things where you're like, I have a notebook full of really cool ideas. See all six of them?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, absolutely. We need
what's your 10th episode?
Yep. What's the saying? Your first season, you use a lifetime of ideas. Your second season, you use all the ideas since the first season.
Yep. Yep.
Fuck.
But that was I introduced you to it in the tent down at Fest.
Yeah, we watched it down on the platform. It was fucking spectacular. We watched
because it had shocked me that you had never seen it, because you are definitely stage folk.
Oh yeah,
it's right up his alley.
Well, I had never seen Noises Off either, but I saw that recently as well, which is kind of in the same.
Yeah, it's one of those
same district.
I really enjoyed watching that because the Goes Wrong show specifically, because for me it was all of these have happened.
Oh yeah, definitely.
High school theater career.
Yeah. Like the Christmas episode, that first episode.
Jeez.
God, I my stomach hurt so bad from laughing. And, because absolutely all of that shit has happened.
We were doing the Martian Chronicles in high school, and I was opposite somebody who could not remember the lines because he hadn't read the script.
Ooh.
And so I had cues for every line of his above and beyond my own dialogue to remind him what he was supposed to say next. And it was just, I watched the Goes Wrong show and I'm like, oh God, it all come flooding back.
Yeah. Were you going to tell me something? Perhaps about my husband?
Yes.
Yeah, no. My oldest brother was in. We had the Missoula Children's Theater back when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Came through town and they were doing Jack and the Beanstalk, and my oldest brother was playing Jack. And they had a beanstalk that was being raised on a wire on stage, you know, and so the everybody on stage is going, And, oh my goodness, look at the beanstalk. It's going up and up and up and up. And during one of the performances, you already know where this is going.
The string rope break.
Rope breaks. Exactly. So they're going, it goes up and up and up, and it goes back down. But look, there's another one way over there, and it's going up. They point off stage. It's going up and up and up, and we're going to go over there to climb it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, one of the better stories that I've heard of that was a theater teacher of mine. Her husband was playing the Cary Grant role. Don't remember the name of the character, but the Cary Grant role from Arsenic and Old Lace. And
Mortimer Brewster.
Yes. And so Mortimer Brewster is there, and he's his brother has sat him in the chair, and the brother is played by the shop teacher at the school where they're doing this thing. And
it looks like Boris Karloff.
Right. Yeah. and there's a moment where he's supposed to grab the curtain rope that ties it back and use that to lash him to the chair. Yep. And the shop teacher shoves him into the chair and then turns and realizes that the prop rope is not over the curtain rod.
Yep, didn't get reset.
And more than that, he realizes that this is a traveling show and it's in the trunk of the car. And he turns accusingly and he goes, "You just wait right there. Don't move a muscle." And jumps out the window, and then runs, pelts down the hallway out to the parking lot.
Oh my God.
And in the meantime, her husband is like, "Well, you know, ordinarily in a situation like this, I would take the opportunity to escape, but he did tell me not to move, and I am the hero of this story, so I feel like I should be obeying at least."
Well, was Dr. Einstein still there at this point?
So yeah, he gets back in. "Oh, I seriously thought you were going to be gone by the time I got back. I'm glad you waited."
Jesus Christ.
Ties him to the chair, and then they continue on with the whole scene.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah. Fuck. I love stuff like that.
Live theater.
For better or worse.
It keeps you on your toes.
Ooh, it keeps on other people's toes. Jesus.
Yeah.
I was stepping out on a stage for the point when Burnham Wood is approaching the castle. We've all got our branches in front of us. And I'm supposed to say, "Who knows if Donald Ben be with his brother?" Right? And I'm, "Who knows if Donald Ben would?" "Who knows if Donald Ben?" "All right, I'm ready. We're going out there. And all of a sudden I feel this like behind me. And it's somebody hitting me with their branch, and I turn around, and Mark Vandenberg is there, and Mark is 3 feet tall and hitting me with his branch. And I was like, "Mark, fuck do you want?" Because we are in the wings. We're not and in the quietest voice, he's like, "Decorate me. Decorate me." Hitting me with this pine branch, and I'm just like, "Mark, you cannot do this." And I get out on stage in front of the lights and I go, "Oh, that's gone."
Yep.
And the person who's supposed to respond to the line goes, "For certain, sir, I do not know if Donald Ben be with his brother, but..."
Yep.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was, James and I were in a play together.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to memorize every one of his lines to cue him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We weren't. Mm. I would never share a stage with you. Wait, that's not right either.
Oh, I am so excited for Josh and Mare's wedding.
Yeah, no, we've all had those moments. Like, and the best part is watching the Goes Wrong show with my wife because she's a theater teacher.
No, God, yes.
I'm only imagine.
Fantastic.
Because she drinks when we're watching that show. I'll be laughing because I've been in those situations and I've seen those situations, and she'll just kind of get this 1,000-yard stare.
I've seen things.
She enjoys them very much. Don't get me wrong. She definitely laughs at them. But yeah, there's a couple times where she's just been like, oh, too real, too real.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we take a break?
Yes, I think we better had.
All right, we'll do that. Then we'll talk to our, you know, guest more or some shit like that.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
But it had that one weird foot.
Mm-hmm. Like it was a mutant. It was a mutant that popped out of an egg. Yep. Anyway, well, where were we? Oh yeah, and we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Settle. And I'm Jenna.
Yeah.
Cole. Okay. I'm Cole. I'm ready. My name is Cole.
Anyway, speaking of Cole, Cole, we're here to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or you're here to talk to us. One of the two is true.
We're all here to talk.
Or maybe
talking
both
will happen.
Maybe both talking of these things are had. True.
Yes.
Cole will be head.
Ooh. Cole will be head. So what have you been up to?
Well, so there's this health thing. Oh, wait, we did that.
God damn it.
Actually, the health thing has made it so that film production is difficult to do because that takes a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And getting them together is.
We should clarify to the listeners, Cole makes dangerous movies.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
For the uninitiated.
I have made movies in the past, yes. I plan to do so again in the future.
Ooh,
but that future is yet travel. Unwritten. We're looking for writers.
submit your applications to Salsa.
Yeah,
in the form of a social
distancing plan. Part of my social distancing plan has been to go off-roading because a Jeep is roughly 6 feet long. That's a lie. It's much longer. However, it's at least 6 feet long. And you're kind of on your own in your own little shuttlecraft out in the world going places that other people don't go. And I take a camera with me everywhere because making pictures is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And going those places allows me to get images that other people wouldn't be getting. And I certainly wouldn't be getting without getting there. Mm-hmm. So I've actually got the normal off-roading crowd is not necessarily as COVID safe as one would hope. However, the fact that it's mostly outdoors and I can stay in my vehicle makes it much safer. So we've been doing that, and I've been getting some really fun action shots of people doing dumb things with vehicles, which is amazing.
It's always spectacular. Fuck.
These are people who know that 47 degrees is too far to tilt.
Ooh, yeah.
But 46 and a half, that's fine.
That's okay.
It is really, really fun to be around these folks because they are willing to push their 2 tons of steel to its absolute limit. And then you get pictures of these amazing things happening. And what you end up capturing in camera when you point a camera and pull a shutter is not as cool as it looks in person. So it mm-hmm. forces mm-hmm. me to art, I guess.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm a person who hates the term artist.
Oh, yeah.
Ah,
fair.
I prefer craftsperson because artist implies that everything you make is perfect. Craftsman, craftsperson, I should say craftsperson. Craftsperson implies that everything you make is a mm-hmm. work that you have made in a specific craft that you are working on improving in.
Mm.
And so I'm using photography to improve my videography. And a lot of my fundamental that I do is camera and lighting.
Yeah.
So I started out doing producing and directing and camera and everything except writing. not because I can't write, but because I can't finish.
Huh.
I'll have the idea. I'll write out a rough outline. I'll write the first scene and go, and I'm spent.
Mm-hmm.
And that never concludes.
Sure.
So,
I'm in the same boat. I'm a big idea guy. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if, and I
right.
can get that concept, but then to fill in the details and add the story, like of the little, I can't do that. I'm not detail oriented enough.
I would consider myself to be the same way, but I have been pushing myself to create and finish small projects. I still have like a fucking thing that I've been working on for probably 20 years that eventually I want to collaborate with Cole on.
We have one script of yours that we're definitely going to do.
No idea what that script was going to look like, but I was like, I'm going to do this thing that I learned to do on Salsa's show, and I'm just going to bullshit for a fucking an hour on the paper.
Yeah.
And then yes. I'm going to edit that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. That's the hard part is if you don't put it on paper, you will never be able to edit.
Yep.
And editing is the actual creation of the thing.
Yeah.
But the idea has to be vomited onto paper first.
And the final project sometimes doesn't look anything like the original starting point.
No.
But you needed a starting point to go off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the coolest thing about shooting film, video, whatever, is mm-hmm. that you're not done writing once you've shot it either. Because then you have the edit left.
Yeah.
And I have taken productions that we wrote. They read well on the page. We shot exactly what we had concepted and written and storyboarded. And we spliced it together per the script. And we watched it and went, well, that sucks. That is completely unwatchable. What do we do about it? We have an exercise that we do where we take each scene and you write each scene and you tell the purpose of that scene on an index card.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it up on the wall, and you make a whole wall of these index cards with these purposes. And eventually what you do is you suss out whose scene it really is and which part mm-hmm. of their character arc it's telling. Mm-hmm. And then you rearrange the cards on the wall until it tells the more concise story that's actually watchable.
Hmm.
And then you edit to that. And we did that with we finished a larger project to prove that we could and to showcase what we were able to do at that moment based on all of the previous work we had done. So we'd done a dozen and a half shorts or something, won a few awards in competitions. And we wanted to push ourselves and do like a half hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up shooting about a 45-minute thing. And then we spliced it together and everybody was despondent.
Ooh.
And we came up with this exercise on a call like this, where everybody's like, oh my God, this is horrible. And it's just not going to work. And, we started concepting together. All right. How can we tell the story with the pieces we've already made? and rearrange them to tell a tighter story that's more watchable and that hides the information that needs to be hidden and reveals it at the right times to make it more more surprising, more entertaining. And we came up with a really nice, like, 23-minute finished product that does, I think, a good, watchable, here's where we're at kind of thing. That we actually, at the time that we were finishing it, I was working in a movie theater as a projectionist and lead assistant manager kind of person. And I talked to the general manager there and said, hey, can I show my thing here? And he went, sure. Years later, he was at a different theater and I contacted him and I said, hey, we finally finished. Can I still show my thing? He's like, yeah. Come on down. So we went down to the theater in Shakopee, right? And we flow-walled it there. Right. And it was amazing to see the production we had made on the biggest screen in their theater.
Oh, yes. Neat.
That was so cool.
It was spectacular.
That's right. You were there. Yeah. It was just, it was a hoot and a half to take a thing. It was 5 or 6 years of production just because we were all doing it like in our spare time, weekends and whatever. And shooting when we could, and we got done with the final edit. And one of the problems that I thought we would have when I first read the script, we ended up having with the edit is that there was stuff talked about, but not shown. So we ended up going and doing a reshoot and getting an actor and a swimming safety person because we had some like freshwater actual stuff. The actress that we got was amazing. And she had been a lifeguard. So strong swimmer. We were in a part of a river that was a light current part of the river. And so we had another lifeguard downstream being safety. And between the two of them, you know, everything was fantastic. We needed her to just be dead into the water.
Yeah.
And then float off camera. And it was incredible, that shot. So cool. So we went out and spent a day shooting. I took a digger and nearly guillotined myself with my camera rig because I was chasing her with the camera the entire day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was me running that camera in that opening scene.
That's a spectacular fucking shot, though.
Thank you. yeah, there's footage somewhere of me taking a digger. It's hard. Because I didn't know we were going to be running, and I wore... What did I wear, James?
Crocs.
Yes, I did.
and your battle flaps were up.
No, I had the battle flaps down, but it didn't matter at that point. You don't sprint in Crocs, even with the battle flaps down.
This is why I never wear fucking Crocs.
Yes, that's why I never wear Crocs.
They are super comfortable and they massage your feet, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's great.
You don't have feet? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm like one of those 90s comic book characters where I'm wearing 1,000 pouches. I'm weirdly overdefined in specific places and nowhere else. And then my feet are always behind something. Yeah.
They couldn't draw you, huh?
Fucking criminal. Yeah. So, no, I'm reminded somebody, did a YouTube series really recently of, the prequels, the Star Wars prequels. And was like, what if they were good? And he does exactly the process that you're describing where he's like, okay, this shit makes no sense. So we're going to rearrange this sequence so that these are the facts. And especially in the first video where he's just doing the Phantom Menace, almost the entirety of it is just him rearranging the shots that they took into a better film and narrating it. And it's good. It's actually fucking watchable. It's very good. And the thing is, like, I could never make a movie like The Phantom Menace. I mean, yet. Anyway, you know, tattoo says yet. But I know that it is not likely that I will ever be in that chair. However, man, that movie's kind of a fucking hot mess. And it sets up the next two to have to be more of a mess. Because whatever you've done in the first film, you have to do bigger in the one. And it's the other problem with like superhero movies. You always have the big villain from the series as the one that gets defeated in the first one, almost always killed. And then in the next one, you don't have the big bad anymore that everyone recognizes. You don't have the
Joker. This was Mr. Sinister's Uncle Bob.
Right.
And he's quite and also, miffed.
The Penguin's cat, Mittens, and also, and you know, by the, yeah.
And so this anyway, is how you get this Mr. is Freeze. How you get characters like Calendar Man.
Right.
He's on the
anyway. Bench.
Yeah, he goes through those movies and does, I think, pretty close to the process that you describe. And says, like, instead of having these four separate battles that make no fucking sense, that we're just flipping back and forth between and confusing the fuck out of the audience, we just have one battle that means everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And suddenly everything seems
Helm's Deep.
Important.
It's the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lead up to that thing.
So it's that. Yeah. So I recommend that, but I also like, that's a good point. Yeah, I think that process is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what I end up doing whenever I write an argument against something or write a term paper or something like that. I just put everything down on paper, like we were talking about. And then, rearrange things into cohesive flow.
I had a technique in one of my film classes where I had like plot and cinematography and music and dialogue and all of these things as points on a circle. And then I had each kind of character as a concentric circle within this web. And so as you're discussing the thing, writing the paper, you would jump from talking about the cinematography of this character to talking about the sound design or the lighting of this character. And from there, you would move to a different character's sound design. And from there, you would move to their story plot point. And I would just work my way around this web. And that's how I turned in my papers. And I got A's on it. But it's kind of that editing thing is that you reconceptualize the pieces you have to tell and you put them in some visual format and you tell them that way. And I think doing that makes the writing a little less abstract. So it was a neat thing. Yeah. Our group's name is Yaffe Underground Productions. It's You Asked For It Underground Productions. They didn't actually ask for it. It started in high school as kind of all of our friends used this name to publish works under, whether they be stories or music or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Whatever their medium is.
Yeah, so when it came time to be a filmmaker, I just published under that because that's what it was. And nobody else was using it anymore. And I talked to a couple of the other folks who had been using it in high school. They're like, man, I don't care. Go for it. So that's what we've done. And in order to make it so that it wasn't like it's greedy and I'm just taking the name kind of thing, we made it an educational filmmaking co-op.
Fuck that.
And so the thing is that all of the department heads started at the bottom of that department at least three productions ago. And then they moved up quickly to be the head of that department. When you're the head of a department, you have to teach the people under you the job.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made it so that it's not, I mean, it's kind of community theater-esque.
Sure.
Me and a couple other guys purchased all the equipment and own all the equipment. And then just have people come play on set. Here's a script. Here's your part. Let's do a thing. So it's we're asking for free labor from performers and from creative people. Mm-hmm. But we looked at ourselves as more of a community theater kind of thing, where I really want to do set design. All right, you're on the set design crew. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So people can hop from position to position and learn all of the things they want to learn under people who have done it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to make a company that's eventually releasing things that are able to turn small profits or at least cover their costs and pay mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. And at that point, it will no longer be Yaffe Underground Productions, because Yaffe Underground is specifically a production company that does education and stuff. And when we get to the point where we're having to prove ourselves and get funding and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. that's not going to work on an educational set.
Yeah.
Or maybe it will, and we can find the right people to fund it. But those some of the people on those sets tend to be a little flaky. So they'll do it for a day and go, yeah, this wasn't anything like I was expecting. This is hard work, and I suddenly don't want to be here. And then they suddenly won't be there.
Mm.
So, yeah, but we've done the process is fun. Yeah.
If people want to get involved in this, how would they?
Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook as me, Cole McDonald, mm-hmm. and just reach out and say hi.
Okay. We'll get a link in the show notes for that. So if people want to write something for Cole.
Yeah, we've got, we've got Yaffe Underground Production as well. So Yaffe Underground is up on Facebook as well. And we have a link to Paperclip in there, which is that larger production that we did and screened. So you can actually watch that.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's on the line.
We'll make sure to get a link to that too in the show notes.
Yeah,
sweet. As well. Any thoughts before we wrap up on this? I try
not to think, it hurts.
Cool. You fit in fantastically with this group.
Yeah.
Like I said, we will get some links in the show notes. Make sure that you can find that. Let us know what your thoughts are on all of that nonsense. And we'll be back right after these messages.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Cole. I figured it out finally.
Ooh, good on you.
Yeah,
that's good, because it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
You waited until Cole was balls deep in that drink, too. That was masterfully done.
I'm trying a new way to drink.
Yeah.
Absorption?
Cole, that's a penis, not a cloaca. That's a penis, not a cloaca.
No, if you flex your abs, then you suck in.
Ooh. These things you learn as a sword swallower?
It's because you don't know how to do it, James, and other people don't.
Well, they're about to learn.
I did my own research and I read it on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's how you know it's true.
Fuck.
All right. Anyway, today's Fast Five comes to us from Mav.
Woo! Yay, Mav!
I always assumed he had a bowling shirt that says Marv.
Oh, he must. If he doesn't, he needs one. Anyway,
well, we know when his birthday is. Yeah,
I don't know when his birthday is. I'm glad somebody is, though. Anyway, Mav writes, "Greetings, you lovely people," and of course, James.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It has been a long time since I have had the pleasure and the time to sit down and give you one of these doodads called a Fast Five. So let's see if I can remember how this goes. Following this email with the questions will follow my normal done or so emails that will also contain context. Ready or not, is James really ever ready? Here we go. All right. Question number one. Oh. Fuck you, Matt. Red or green? Just right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. Didn't even nope. You know, excite me before he just rammed it right in.
The thing is,
not even a this courtesy spit.
This may not be referring to you.
Oh,
this may be referring to him.
No, but the thing is whether or not it's referring to him, it's also referring to me.
Oh, right.
Definitely also referring to Salsa. But Mav was colorblind and grew out of it. It was some, the chemo, was, but yeah.
But so he may be saying something like, "What is my favorite now that I can tell?"
That in itself, though, is a dig at me.
Oh yeah.
You're welcome.
On man. Your list of celebrities to sleep with, does your spouse consider on your list Jason Momoa to be a red light or a green light?
I'm going to say that's like, a stretch because I'm out of shape.
Does you,
what?
it's a lunge, really. So most people, I'm assuming not Salsa because Salsa.
No, I know what you're. So what? You just said it in the most convoluted way possible.
Yes.
So
you've met me, right?
Yes. No. That's why.
Although
I'm confused.
Along that same. If we're going down this road, I'm going to go down this road. I've hooked up the cart, and you're coming with me. So you've started this, and it's your fault because green and red, maybe not in all states, but in this state, indicate a light on a stop sign or on a stoplight, and they're vertically oriented in Minnesota or most of Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And so that people who are colorblind know that the top one is stop and the bottom one is green. So technically, it's top or bottom with Jason Momoa.
Ooh, shit. That's a good question.
I would be too intimidated. I would be way too intimidated to top Jason Momoa. I would have to bottom. So is that green?
I'll bet he's a surprisingly gentle lover.
No, I'm sure he is, but I would still be too intimidated.
I think he's the kind of guy that likes to be pushed back against a doorframe and kissed. I'm going to say top.
Oh.
Okay, James is going
gutsy.
Red.
Gutsy. I'm going green because I like the outdoors.
Well, that's fair. All right.
That's very sweet. All right, question number two.
Candy apple do you like best?
You know what? I'm secure enough in my masculinity to say I would bottom for Jason Momoa, okay? Is that
wrong? Yeah. No, but I, you know, I'm all about service. I'm a service top, not a regular top. You know.
All right. Question number two. Stand or sit? Mm-hmm.
Do we think it's a pee thing?
And only if it's not number two.
What is this "we" that you speak of?
Well, "we" is a colloquial term for peeing.
I stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Huh. Okay.
And when I pee.
And when you pee. Do you do them at the same time?
It depends on how many pregame beers.
And it needs to be said while we're peeing. That's the only... okay. So that's a thing now. All right. I pledge allegiance to the booth and to the Renaissance Festival of Minnesota.
Oh, I pledge nothing to the Renaissance Festival.
The Renaissance?
Renaissance.
it's like the regular Renaissance, but someone explains all of it to you. All right, good. Sitting. Like, as much as I'm an active person and at times hyperactive, shocking both of you, I'm sure, I like a good sit down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a lazy fuck. Definitely sit.
Mm-hmm. What it might be like stand up comedy or situational comedy.
Mm-hmm. Stand up or sitcom. Mm.
Huh.
Mm.
In which case I would change to stand because sitcoms, most of them are just utter garbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many of them are garbage.
Yeah.
I will argue that all improv is situational.
Oh, no, but that is a distinct category though. Improv comedy is different than sitcom. Situational comedy is scripted.
Yeah, this is all right. Okay.
Did I just break your brain a little bit there, James?
No, that was kind of fucked up, but that's why we had you on, honestly. Yeah. I'll say stand up though.
All right. Good. We all good? All right.
Yeah.
Question number 3. Above or below?
Green? Wait.
Is this Jason Momoa again? Because I'm going to say below.
You got Momoa on the mind, man.
Although, standing up, if I'm above, I can really put my weight behind it.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
So, I'm sorry, what was the question? Above or below?
It was Jason Momoa or a stoplight. That's... above or below? If you have to stop someone at a bar who is accosting someone else, do you hit them above or below the belt?
Oh, below.
That'll stop them.
That fight is ending.
Yeah.
No, the kidneys are above the belt.
That's true. That's true, but that's much more permanent damage.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If somebody's... I'm okay with that.
Fair.
I mean,
in the situation you just described, I'm okay with that.
Either way, depending on how hard you hit, they might pee blood. So, yeah.
I've been lifted off the ground by my groin.
More times than you care to remember.
Way more. You get to the ring and you realize that I made a lot of bad decisions to end up here with a sword in my hand.
Yeah.
Most of us have made poor decisions to get where we are. It's by definition.
The thing is, I get to the ring and I realize that Cole has made a lot of bad decisions for me to be where I am. That's how that works. You know?
So, yeah, I'm going to be above the waterline.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm going to go with above. And I'm keeping my reasoning close to my chest.
Oh. Ooh. Secret reason.
So, like
reason.
Your neck?
Secret reason.
Or your nipple?
Yeah. If anybody had a third nipple, I would assume that it's salsa, but I've seen them, and I know that it's not true.
I had an ex that had a third nipple.
Huh. Lily Allen has a third nipple. She got it out on a British quiz show.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Yep. So where were we? Question number four. Gas or mineral?
Oh, frack.
Wow.
Gert, wow. Get out.
Yeah.
You're just Jenna yourself?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, he did.
I don't know that it's against the rules, but it feels wrong somehow.
I'm going to allow it.
Of course you are. You're not Jenna.
Awesome.
Exactly.
It's her podcast.
Uh-huh.
Gas or mineral? Do you like...
Okay.
Spring mineral water or bubbling water? I'm going to say that I prefer bubbling water.
Yeah.
Gas.
Carbonated, yeah.
Which I actually have a bottle of smart water downstairs that is oxygenated water. Chemically, I want you to figure out how the hell that works.
Hydrogen trioxide. That's
no. If I mean
hydrogen dioxide.
If you have more oxygen molecules than
hydrogen dioxide, which is
than they are, it's yeah. You only
which is hydrogen
so much dioxide. Hydrogen, and then you over oxygenate it. Only so much hydrogen.
They just have a sweaty guy breathe into it.
Yikes.
What's number five? I'm sorry. What?
I would rather have a mineral deposit in my backyard than a gas deposit. Mm.
Oh.
If I was to sink a mine or a derrick in my backyard, I would want minerals rather
rocks.
Than gas. Yeah. Mm.
There's gold in them there, salsa.
Exactly. Pull some silver and tin out of my backyard.
Yeah.
It's never heard it referred to that way.
Oh no. Oh. I have questions I don't want answered. All right. So.
You're going to need a spelunker's helmet if you're going to go that way. All right, Jace Momoa, here's a lantern. Well,
a canary now, or what's the...
This took a turn.
This took a hard turn somewhere.
I'm going to say mineral. I don't like to agree with salsa on most things, but I'm fine. That's what's happening.
This is wonderfully. This is usually wonderfully so philosophical, and I don't know what's happened here.
Yeah, behind the scenes, we're idiots. We're also
idiots in front of the scenes. Yeah, we're also
going on here either. That's
yeah.
good.
So, Cole, what are you going with?
Gas. Yes. Mineral.
Okay.
Bubbly water.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. I'm. All right, here we go. Question number five. Free or wired?
Huh.
Free or wired?
Free or wired?
Maybe it's like a cable TV versus broadcast TV thing.
Wire free like versus internet, maybe.
Raised on.
Yeah, I've cut the weird cable cutters. I'm going free.
Yeah.
In
either of those circumstances. So I think that's where I'm at. All right.
Oh, yeah, Like, part of me wants to go with wired just to be contrary, but I'm going to go free.
Hmm.
All right.
Consensus.
Here we go now with the Fast Five number 2 email.
Okay. 2 of 7.
Hold on. Was there any? Did I? Oh, here we go. Scattered context soon to follow Mav. All right. So now we open up the second email and we go straight into it. No intro on this one.
Wow.
Question number 1, red or green? What is a Fast Five from Mav without some kind of random color question? It's still a Fast Five, just not from Mav. Which do you prefer? The green M&Ms or the red M&Ms? Bonus points for Salsa if he answered the gray ones.
We answered Jason Momoa. So, green M&Ms, I guess.
Okay. I answered top. Green. And the green M&M is definitely
is
more
Jason
top
Momoa
than the red
green
ones.
M&M? Do they have a different flavor?
As Aquaman, he was wearing gold and green.
Ooh. I suppose we'll have to go with green then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is green.
Okay. Question number 2, stand or sit? Which do you prefer? Standing on stage giving the best performance of your life or sitting in an audience watching the best performance of your life?
Oh, wow.
Oh, easily stand. Stand.
Stand.
Stand.
Yeah. I
absolutely stand.
Seeing
there
somebody
is nothing like that feeling.
Their life is amazing.
There
I've
is
seen
no
a lot
high.
Of people do that, but it is. There is something. I think the reason that we all do performance shit is that we all understand that there is an additional magic to being in that show.
Like being watching, like sitting there and watching, like Bo Burnham do Inside or,
fuck.
You know, like,
yeah.
Or Nanette, like, you know, like seeing those things are just like, I am seeing one of the most incredible things that has ever been created. And that inspires me to want to get on stage. Like that is what I take away from that is, I will never be that good, but I want to try. You know? So, yeah, definitely stand. All right. Question number 3, above or below? I am assuming there was at least one of you that snickered at this one. You're about two Fast Fives a little slow on this one, Mav. Sorry. I assume there was at least one of you that snickered at this one. Am I right, Jenna? Ha ha, Jenna's not here.
Ooh.
Yes.
We have our air stats, Jenna, to answer that question.
There we go. Do you like the temperature of your shower to be above or below 99.4 degrees? Oddly specific.
Hot shower. All day. I love cold temperatures outside, and I love just a scalding fuck-off shower.
Below.
Especially after Fest, you really wanted to strip all of that skin away.
Yeah. I wanted to blast the paint off, yeah.
Huh.
Yep. All right.
No.
I like
a nice warm shower. my wife likes a shower that flays the skin from my flesh, and nope. All right, number 4, gas or
salsa, what's ironically.
That? What's that?
A little too spicy for salsa, ironically.
Indeed. Number 4, gas or mineral? Summer is on its way. God damn it, Mav.
Oh, is this a grilling question?
If it weren't for that dumb rodent telling us there is 6 more weeks, I'd start breaking out the grill and the smoker now. When grilling, do you prefer to cook with gas or charcoal?
Yep. All right. Oh, fuck. I should have seen this coming.
I prefer gas. I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience for charcoal.
I like a charcoal grill. I love a wood fire, but I like a charcoal.
Yeah.
I like
for most.
Go ahead.
Oh, for most of the time grilling, I want to get out there. I want to sit there with my beer. I want to cook the things. And then when I'm done, I like to twist a little knob and be done.
Huh.
Same. Absolutely the same. I also feel like I
babysit it.
I also feel like I have more control over the temperature and zones with gas. I can micro adjust.
Yeah, I like my grill like I like my showers.
Yep. But yeah, I want to be able to get out there, throw the stuff on the grill, and then walk away.
tons of bratwurst. Well, all right.
All right. Question number five, free or wired?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Would you rather go skydiving and free fall for several thousand feet or go bungee jumping knowing you have a cable tied to your feet to catch you?
Skydiving.
Skydiving.
Fuck, I want to go skydiving.
I really want to go skydiving.
Yeah.
I desperately someday want to go. It's on my bucket list to go skydiving.
Uh-huh. So this may actually shock you, but I'm into mitigating risk. And neither of those particularly appeal to me.
Oh, no, that's the beauty of it, is both of those have risk mitigated already. They are both risky, but the risk has been mitigated to the best of their abilities.
Yeah, you have a parachute with a backup chute.
Yeah, with somebody strapped, with a person strapped to your back, for Christ's sake. Who knows what they're doing? Like, all of the risks that we could possibly... Like... Not risk mitigation would be to go online and buy a parachute.
If that's the case, I'm switching to below.
I mean, not risk mitigation would be to go online and buy one of those parachutes that they use in elementary gym and strap that to your back and jump out of a plane. That is not risk mitigated.
Hold it real good.
Yeah.
And jump off the roof. Yeah.
Whereas... tandem jumping with somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing with a spare parachute, risk has already been mitigated.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, gas free, not gas free. That was the previous one was gas. I just assumed I'd shit myself.
Wait.
All right. Anyway, Mav ends this by saying, well, that's all I have for the moment. Salsa, I am genuinely sorry I wasn't able to provide you with an endless trail of emails in an effort to apply context to my questions. I know how much you enjoy that. So now I will make it a point to do that at my next opportunity. God damn it.
In his defense.
No, there is no defense.
In his defense. You have met him.
Unfortunately, yes.
How is that in Mav's defense? If anything, that is a solid case against him.
That is a case for the prosecution, sir.
That is, in fact, the worst case. Oh my god.
And Mav says, love, hugs, and other gushy emotions, your friendly neighborhood Mav. All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one, make sure you repeat those choices and then give us context. Does anybody have a shout out? No?
I do.
Okay.
I actually do. Somebody that I've recently started seeing, is studying a language with me that is fucking fascinating. It's a language called Tokipona. And I would never have known a goddamn thing about it if it were not for the podcast The Illusionist by Helen Zaltzman. That was what keyed me into it, and it's a great fucking experience. It's a language with 116 words. And that's it. And it's bonkers. It changes your entire way of thinking. Stories from me might actually be short, but what the hell? I know. So,
I have a question.
You've used more than 116 words just to tell us about this.
Right. Exactly that. So, my thanks to Helen Zaltzman and the Illusionist podcast for introducing me to this amazing thing that I now get to share with somebody.
Where is this spoken?
Functionally nowhere.
Okay.
It is a recent invention.
I see. Okay.
Interesting.
It is not an indigenous language. Okay.
No. It uses many of the phonemes from Polynesian languages, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to give a shout out to all of the medical folks who are having to deal with all of the sucka during these medical times.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who has contracted COVID prior to getting the vaccines, I'm still dealing with the fallout from it, and they're putting themselves on the line every day and deserve every one of our thanks.
Shit, yeah.
Here, here.
Fuck, that's a good shout out.
I'm giving my shout out to, mine's going to be a lot more pithy than Cole's, so I should have gone first. I'm giving my shout out to, 9 Mile Brewery in Bloomington, who are having their grand opening this Friday.
Ooh.
I know. The first brewery in Bloomington, Bloomington, Minnesota, that is, named after 9 Mile Creek. 9 Mile Brewery will be having their grand opening this Friday.
Very different from 3 Mile Island.
Yes, like times three.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very different from a magnitude of three. That's 9 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. I will not be there for most of it. I'm working a hockey game
just
that night.
Just after 7 Mile?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer. Keep moving west. I'm working a hockey game that night, but I will be swinging by after the hockey game to grab myself a crowler or a growler of something. But yeah, no, they are a new brewery. I will report back on how good their product is, but you know, I like supporting local business, and this one is near to my house, which, you know, makes things taste a little better.
I thought you were going to say near to my heart, but this makes sense.
It's physically close to my house, which makes things, you know, I will. Yeah. It is an automatic point in its favor. So
it makes it near to your heart. Yeah.
Anyway, check them out. I will report back and we'll see how good they are, but give them your business in the meantime, because, you know, they're trying. All right. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Nothing at the moment.
No.
Except see Paperclip.
Yep.
I'm actually looking up a link for it right now to give you guys.
Yeah, go ahead and just message that to me, and I'll make sure it gets into the show notes, okay? Yeah. Other than that, Fearless Comedy Productions has Fearless 5 coming up. Their annual short play festival thing. Fearless 5 is coming up I think it's opening this weekend. I'm trying to bring that up right now.
You mean for the weekend closest to Valentine's Day?
I don't know. When's that?
My shout out is to Salsa's wife. You have the patience of a saint.
Why? This weekend, February 11th, 12th, 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th at 7:30 p.m. at the Historic Mounds Theater. Go to the fearlesscomedy.org website to find out what the Historic Mounds Theater's COVID policies are. You do need to require proof of vaccination and all that other stuff, so don't show up without that. Otherwise, you will be turned away. because they take that shit serious because
good.
It's serious. But otherwise, yes, do go check out that show. Go to, like I said, fearlesscomedy.org. You can get tickets there as well. So that's my plug. Anything else? Cool. Any final thoughts before we go?
Yes. Bye, bye, bye. I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Mav for sending in that Fast Five. A very special thanks to Cole for being our last-minute guest. It was not something that was planned. It was he found out a few hours ago.
Just luck.
But, you know, hey, he's still here and still doing great. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, may she rest in peace, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.